ஹலோ அண்ட் வெல்கம் டு சங்கம் லிட். திஸ் இஸ் நந்தினி கார்கி அண்ட் இன் திஸ் எபிசோட் வி அப்சர்வ் அ பர்ஃபெக்ட் இன்ஸ்டன்ஸ் ஆஃப் ப்ரொஜெக்ஷன் அஸ் டெபிக்டட் இன் சங்கம் லிட்ரரி ஒர்க் புறநானூறு 369 பென் ஃபார் த சேராக்கிங் கடலோட்டிய வெள்கெழு குட்டுவன் பை த போயட் பரணர். Set in the category of Vagaithinai or Victory, the verse puts forth a specific request to a winning king in the battlefield. Iruppu mugan cherithe yendu elil marupin karunga yaanai konmu aga neel moli maravar எரிவனர் உயர்த்த வாள் மின்னாக வயங்கு கடிப்பு அமைந்த குருதி பலிய முரசு முழக்கு ஆக அரசு அரா பணிக்கும் அணங்கு ஒரு பொழுதின் வெவ்விசை புறவி வீசு வழி ஆக விசைப்புறு வல்வில் வீங்கு நான் உகைத்த கனைத்துளி பொழிந்த கண்ணகன் கிடக்கை ஈரச் செருவையின் தேரேராக விடியல் புக்கு நெடிய நீட்டி நின் செருப்படை மிளிர்ந்த திருத்துரு பஞ்சால் பிடித்து எரி வெல்வேல் கணையமொடு வித்தி விழுத்தலை சாய்த்த வெறுவரு பைங்கூள் பேய்மகள் பற்றிய பிணம் பிறங்கு பல் போர்பு கணநரியோடு கழுது களம் படுப்ப பூதம் காப்ப புலிகளம் தழியி பாடினர்க்கு இருந்த பீடுடையாள தேவை வெண்கால் புறையும் விசிபினி வேய்வை காணாவிருந்தின் போர்வை அரிக்குரல் தடாரி உருப்ப ஒற்றி பாடி வந்திசின் பெரும பாடு ஆன்று எழுதி தோயும் இமிழ் இசை அருவி பொன்னுடை நெடுங்கோட்டு இமயத்து அன்ன ஓடை நுதல ஒழ்குதல் அறியா துடிக்கடி குழவிய பிடி இடை மிடைந்த வேள முகவை நல்குமதி தாளா ஈகை தகை வெய்யோயே. As we saw in the previous verse, the scene in a battlefield is presented in a different light. The poet's words can be translated as follows. With beautiful uplifted tusks adorned with iron-tipped ornaments, elephants with black trunks become clouds. Swords raised by soldiers who have taken tall vows become lightning. War drum to which sacrificial offerings have been rendered and that which is struck by short sticks becomes thunder. Enemy kings become snakes filled with fear in that frightening time. Speeding horses become the roaring wind. Arrows that are emitted by the swelling and taut strings of the bow become raindrops in that widespreading space. In that moist field, chariots become the plows. Arriving at dawn, extending tall your many weapons, shine and pounce upside down, and along with thrown white spears become the seeds. And finally, heads and bodies torn asunder become the fresh crop of corpses that are stacked high as haystacks, around which ghostly maiden, flocks of foxes, and fearsome ghosts rove around as ghouls stand in guard in that rich crop field, O great king who awaits the bards. Smeared with a paste of white sandalwood freshly ground on a stone, with a flawless new cover is my resounding thudari drum that I come beating and singing to you, O Lord. Akin to the tall and golden peaks of the Himalayas, with resounding cascades watered by the roaring clouds, wearing ornaments, knowing not what it's to be tame. A male elephant, along with its female and small trunk calves, you must render unto me, O great king who desires the fame that springs from unceasing generosity. Let's delve into the nuances. This prolific historian poet sketches an ancient battlefield for us, but not in a direct style. Rather, he transposes this battlefield to an entirely different occupational area. To explain, the poet says the elephants in that battlefield are not just elephants, but are dark clouds in the sky. Next, the swords held by soldiers are lightning rods, he says, following this by equating the resounding war drums to thunder heard in the sky. Signs of rain in the sky of this verse. In tandem with the belief of these Sangam people that thunder ruins snakes, as we have seen in many songs in both Aham and Puram categories of Sangam literature, this crucial element of snakes in the rain is defined as none other than enemy kings who are frightened by the outburst of those dark clouds of elephants, lightning streaks of swords and thundering war drums. Next, leaping horses turn into the wind that blows with fierceness, and arrows are said to be the raindrops that fall on that battlefield. So far, it's all elements of weather that has been equated to elements of war. But now the poet turns it into occupational elements by equating chariots to the plows on a field, as well as connecting spears and other weapons that pounce upside down to seeds. From this arises the crop of heads and bodies torn apart and the harvest of corpses that are claimed by roving ghost maiden, foxes and ghouls many, the poet completes. Though these images of the battlefield are gruesome and not to our liking, we have to appreciate the skills of connection in this poet, who sees something and then in that is able to perceive an entirely different thing. In this field of death, the poet is able to visualize a field of life-giving crops, and that is indeed creativity par excellence. After that visual table of comparison, the poet turns to his own situation and mentions how he has brought a drum covered in fresh sandalwood paste that he plays on and sings to this king, hoping for a gift from that conqueror. It's not any old thing that this chap wants, but specifically a male elephant towering like a Himalayan peak, and its entire family of female elephants and calves as well. He concludes as if he's asking this only to fulfill the king's desire for earning fame through such splendid generosity. It was a different world, and perhaps those poets could demand and expect to receive such exorbitant gifts from patrons. These days, poets need a second job even to survive. It makes sense that poets were so highly valued in that era because their output was the equivalent of modern theatre, TV and cinema all rolled into one. Reverting back to that image of the crop field, the way the poet opens not with agricultural elements but with rain, thunder and lightning underscores the inextricable dependency between farming and weather, something that's a subtle positive element of knowledge that we can mine from this otherwise gruesome minefield of death. Thanks for listening to this episode of Sangam Lit and journeying with me to ancient lands and mines. Please visit nandinikarki.com to share your thoughts and do spread the word about Sangam Lit. Until next time, Nandri Vanakkam.